Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. What if the fountain of youth wasn't a fountain at all, but a peptide? They're the go-to compounds for people wanting to build muscle, burn fat, heal injuries faster, and even reverse aging. Millions of people are turning to therapeutic peptides. But here's the catch. Most have no idea how to use them the right way. And of course, there's all the hype, the half-truths, and we can't ignore all the TikTok experts. The noise is deafening. So today we get through the noise with Jay Campbell. He's here to cut through all the confusion, and we're going to chat about his new book, Optimize Your Health with Therapeutic Peptides. Whether you're dealing with brain fog, insomnia, injury that won't heal, or you simply want to be you again and feel like, you know, you wake up, look in the mirror and go, yeah, I'm excited about today. Stay tuned because this show's for you. We're going to unlock the future of regenerative medicine, one peptide at a time. And it all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is recognized as one of the world's leading experts on hormonal optimization and therapeutic peptides. His obsession with peak performance for humans began long before biohacking was a buzzword. As a young competitive athlete, he became fixated on a single question. How do you engineer your own biology to perform at its absolute best? That question carried him through a successful career in competitive men's physique and deep into hormonal science. His testosterone optimization therapy Bible became the highest rated book in its field and the go-to resource on the subject. This was followed by four international bestsellers spanning intermittent fasting, peptide therapy, and full spectrum health optimization. His long list of media appearances include ESPN, Forbes, NBC, Men's Health, and the New York Post. He's also the co-founder of BioLongevity Labs. And his latest book is Optimize Your Health with Therapeutic Peptides. Welcome to the show, Jay Campbell.
Dr. David Friedman, that was such a good introduction. I think I'm going to have to hire your PR team or whoever came up with that because that was fantastic.
Yeah, try to keep like 5 minutes into 30 seconds. So,
thank you. That was awesome.
That was great. You've been through a lot, so you had a lot to cover. So, this topic, as I mentioned, it's so hot right now, and I appreciate you being here. For the newbies out there, what exactly is a peptide? Because there's a little confusion.
Yeah. And let me first just say, first off, again, thank you for the introduction. You know, we kind of mentioned it as we were talking off air. I honestly believe this, and it's kind of almost annoying because of this, how long I've been in the space. People listening to this show have to be very cautious and very careful where they get their information, because right now about 90 to 95% of people, and I am not joking or exaggerating, who are speaking about peptides online have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. And I say that as a person who's been using therapeutic peptides since 2003 and 2004 when I first started. Obviously, I've worked with numerous physicians. I've written now 3 books on the topic. There's actually a book that's coming out in 2 weeks that no one even knows about that's called Living Leaner, Longer, Stronger, which will be absolutely my magnum opus because it is everything I've learned about all the things that you and I are going to talk about today. But a peptide very simply is a fractionated protein or a signaling molecule that is made up of chains of amino acids. So anybody who went to high school and had biology, you know, 101 in their 9th or 10th grade year knows what an amino acid is and knows what a chain of amino acids is. So that's really what peptides are. And they're mostly naturally found in the human body and naturally occurring. And again, as signaling molecules, they do a lot of things to regulate and improve and as I say, optimize biological processes.
That's great. But now you say that it's the best kept secret in health and wellness. What's kept them from going mainstream? And why are so many doctors still clueless about them?
Dr. David Friedman, I love you, bro. We are going to become friends off air.
Brother from another mother.
Listen, it's a very simple answer. The pharmaceutical industry, which as you know, has captured medicine, cannot at this point, and trust me, they work feverishly night in and night out to figure it out. They cannot patent the naturally occurring signaling molecules. So they can't make super expensive drugs that obviously that they would then inscribe their pharmaceutical, you know, giants and then their pharma reps, which then invade the doctor's rooms and offices and businesses to brainwash them and train them on prescribing these. So that's the main reason that they haven't become mainstream, again, from a clinical perspective. But David, I would argue they have become mainstream from a user perspective. And obviously that all started with GLP peptides about 4 years ago. And my book, you know, you mentioned it, Optimize Your Health with Therapeutic Peptides, came into the marketplace on January 31st, 2023, and I like to tell people, and obviously I have no proof of this, but this is just based on, you know, what I've observed and my team has given me from an analytics standpoint, is that lots of people were seeking alternative forms of healing due to the vaccine, COVID, everything that happened or transpired from 2020 to 2023. My book came out at that exact time, and it really, I think, exploded into the consciousness of people that were seeking alternative health.
You mentioned our bodies already make peptides naturally. So the big question people are wondering, then why do we need to supplement them? Is it because we produce fewer of them as we age? Is there certain ailments that cause them to be depleted? What's the rationale for needing them from third party?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And the answer is yes, and also due to the contamination in our environment. You know, I talk about this obviously all over the world, and it's not just the degradation of our cellular processes from the environment. It's also just the degradation from everything, David. I mean, from the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, almost everything in the modernized world is full of chemicals, plastics, phthalates, BPA, endocrine disrupting chemicals, et cetera. And so as we get older, we are being bombarded cellularly with all of these adjuvants and these contaminants, as I like to call them. And so, yes, they degrade natural aging processes much faster than somebody who was living 100 years ago, not faced with all of this modernization.
So, Troy, I know most people have heard of Ozempic and the other GLP-1 medications, but they don't realize that's just one category of peptides. Can you explain the difference and where therapeutic peptides maybe fit into the bigger picture of health for optimization?
Yeah, for sure. So there's a lot of peptides. As of last count, there were about 49 that were commercially available right now. And when I mean commercially available, they're actually synthesized in a pharmaceutical, what is called an API facility. And by the way, they're almost all in China, or some are in India. We are building them in the United States right now, but they are not yet ready for prime time. But active pharmaceutical ingredient, or API, is the actual, call it caked material that is sent to the United States or whatever Western country and then lyophilized, which basically is a process of extending the efficacy of the half-life, or actually extending the efficacy of the actual base constituent peptide, and then bottled and, of course, labeled and then sold to the public. And the public is able right now in the United States, able to purchase them in basically one of two ways or both. They can get them from a physician's prescription, and then that prescription is filled at a compounding pharmacy. And then the other option is people have the right to research on themselves, and they can buy them from a direct-to-consumer platform, such as our company, BioLongevity Labs, and then obviously can order them to their house and then use them on themselves. And as everyone has a First Amendment right to research on themselves, and obviously the courts recognize that. So those are the two options. But to your original question, you have a number of peptides from a standpoint of, the best way to classify them is like I put them in a sandbox model. You have mitochondrial optimizing peptides, you have cognitive restoring and enhancing peptides, you have healing and longevity and immunity peptides. And then, of course, you also have fat loss and muscle building. You already mentioned GLP-1s, but you've got those four or five classifications or categories of peptides. And as I tell people, and again, when I talk about this, it's a lot of people get the shiny object syndrome because they're like, oh, I want this peptide and I want that peptide because this will do this or this will do that. And I always tell people the most important way and to understand and start these is figure out what are the biggest issue you have as an individual. And obviously for most people that are probably listening to this in your audience, they have, you know, a fat loss or a weight loss issue. They might want to lose 10, 15, 20, 25 pounds. Some people are worse. And so in that capacity, you're probably going to want to start off with like a GLP-2 or a GLP-3. And once you understand how to use those, and we can get into that, then you can throw in some maybe muscle building stuff, some maybe life extension stuff, some fat loss stuff that's on top of the GLP. So it really just comes down to what you're looking to do and obviously focusing on that one issue and solving for that before you start using a bunch of different other peptides.
I got to tell you a story. So an MD comes in, I treat quite a few of them, and I asked one, I said, so what's your view on the peptides? Oh, I don't believe them. They don't work. But no, get this. I said, but don't you prescribe GLP-1s and Ozempic? Yeah. I said, so you don't believe them? No, that's not a peptide. No, I kid you not. Didn't know that was a peptide. I'm like, whoa.
David, I'm not kidding you when I tell you this. That is very commonplace. When I went to the longevity conference, which I go every year in Vegas, Dr. Bob Goldman and Dr. Ronald Katz, you know, now it's called Longevity Fest. It used to be the A4M conference, but now it's the Longevity Fest. This past year, I went to 10 different compounding pharmacy booths. And I asked the people working at the booth, can you tell me, it was just my intro question. A lot of them knew who I was, but I was like, can you tell me what GLP stands for? And of the 10 booths that I went to, not a single person working the booths even knew what it stood for. And by the way, just for the audience sake, it stands for glucagon-like peptide. But yes, this is the problem that we have. And as I said, why I said 90 to 95% of people have no idea what they're talking about when they speak about these. And this is obviously also with clinicians, influencers, really, truthfully, subject matter experts who should know better. But again, because it's such a buzzword and so many people are talking about, you know, soccer moms are selling peptides out of the back of their SUVs. So it's just an insane world that we've entered right now. But it's like I said, the most important thing is to understand that peptides are merely nothing more than tools. They're not magic bullets. They're not easy buttons. A person has to have their lifestyle dialed in. They should know whether or not they're suffering from a hormone deficiency. They should obviously be doing resistance training and cardiovascular training. They have to be eating enough protein, especially if they're using a GLP, because GLPs are very powerful drugs and they can cause muscle loss. Look, all the side effects that you and I and your listening audience have seen and heard about in the mainstream are real and true, but it's not because the drugs are the problem. The problem is the end user does not have the understanding or the awareness on how to use these interventions. And so my job and your job and people like us is to teach people that they're nothing more than tools, and that when they're used correctly and in the context of health and longevity, they are absolutely life-transforming agents.
Yeah, I know they're very popular peptides with athletes, but what about a person who isn't going to the gym? Would they see any benefit, or do peptides really deliver when they're paired with exercise?
So every person should go to the gym because, as you know, the greatest adjuvant slash extender of life is muscle tissue. We know this because all the statistics show us that the leaner you are, the longer you'll live. If you look at all the Blue Zone studies and you see all the people that are living into their hundreds, all of these people have one thing in common. They don't have body fat. They're very thin. They're usually very active. And so the truth is if you want to live longer, as I say, live leaner, longer, stronger, you really do have to build muscle. You don't need to look like a bodybuilder, but you have to have functional, active, lean tissue to strengthen your bones so you avoid osteopenia and sarcopenia as you get older, which, as you know, is the leading cause of death. I mean, because it leads to all the diseases of aging. So that's the most important thing. But there are definitely peptides that can help people be motivated to go to the gym, because the mitochondrial stimulation will optimize energy production. And so people will feel more energized. And one of the things about GLP-2 and GLP-3 that I should say is all the research, and by the way, let me just mention this. I have a book that did come out earlier in the year in February. It's called Metabolic Awakening with GLP Peptides. It's 730 pages and 1,400 clinical references looking at the data. And I can tell you that the data is now showing that these drugs do far more things at the brainwave or brainwave patterning level than they originally were anticipated to do, which was obviously to help with metabolic health. Like, they're curing obsessive compulsive disorders and diseases, like people that have gambling addictions or porn addictions or weed, vaping, alcohol. A lot of these people start these at the right dose and they find that they never have these habits again. And again, these are permanent changes that are happening at the brain level. So there's a lot of value and benefit that comes from these drugs. As I said earlier, and I'll say it again and continue to spring it from the mountaintop, is that people have to learn how to use them responsibly. And look, man, the pharmaceutical industry, as you know, does not want people healthy. I give lots of praise and a lot of props to the chemists at Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk and all these giant pharmaceutical manufacturers because they're brilliant. But at the end of the day, David, their job is not to drive human health or improve human health. It's to sell drugs. So they're not going to teach their pharmaceutical reps, and the pharmaceutical reps aren't going to teach the doctors how to use them any more than they're going to teach them to sell the most and start people at the highest dosage. So we as educators have to let people know that there's a better and more instructive way to use these products. And again, when you understand how that is, and again, it's microdosing. We can talk about that if you want. They're always beneficial. And again, in the data, in the scientific studies, it shows that microdosing from the beginning actually maintains the weight loss. So people are not addicted, or as a lot of people like to say in the mainstream, to being on these things for life. Responsible use and education and awareness of how to use them actually makes them just a consumer who can use them whenever they have a desire at any point in their life, so they don't stay addicted.
Talk to me about the peptides are being injected. Scares a lot of people off. I've seen patches now and nasal spray options. Are these as effective, or do you really have to go with the injection?
So the answer is, right now, delivery systems for peptides are dramatically improving. As you said, 80% of people do have a needle phobia when they first start to work with therapeutic peptides from an injection standpoint. And I think it's important that the audience understands that injection will always be the highest impact delivery system because of two reasons. Number one, when you inject, you cross the blood-brain barrier the fastest. And number two, you will get the peptide into what is called parental or portal systemic circulation the fastest, so that if you have an issue at a specific point of the body and the peptide is designed to address it, the injection gets it there the fastest and most efficient way. So those are the two reasons why injection will always be the highest impact. But to your question, there are multiple new delivery systems and formats that are coming into the marketplace. There are patches. There are also what are called strips. There's a different name for them now from a patent standpoint, but they're basically these little lozenges slash wafers that people can put on their tongue, and then it lifts to the roof of the mouth, and it's actually, the peptide is actually absorbed through buccal delivery, which basically means it goes down through the gums and also through the walls of the back of your throat. So it actually bypasses slash avoids digestive and systemic absorption that way, so that, because as you know, a lot of times oral peptides, when they get into the digestive tract, can be broken down a lot easier. So that's why we don't really use a lot of oral peptides. There are oral peptides that will work, and those are the ones that are designed for the actual microbiome or the gut specifically. But those are going to be your biggest impact delivery systems right now. And I can tell you that within the next, I want to say somewhere between 12 to 18 months, there are going to be patches that have extremely high micron needle formats, which will be like 60 to 80. And once those patches are out, it'll be like a Star Trek type thing where you just walk up and put like a Velcro patch on your arm and you won't even feel it, and it can deliver the peptide. And it will also be able to deliver different blends of peptides. So the best thing to say is that the technology for delivery systems is dramatically improving. And my guess is that within 2 years, we'll have something that's very equal to an injection, so that the people that have that needle phobia or that injection phobia will be able to still take
that. Greg, you mentioned digestive disorders, so common now. Many have tried diet, supplements, and medication without lasting relief. How can therapeutic peptides offer hope for these people? Is there currently ones you can mention?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, what's going on at the global level in the United States from the FDA standpoint is that actually in seven to eight days from today, there's actually going to be a giant pharmacy committee meeting, and the FDA is obviously involved in this panel, and they're going to be deciding on the benefit of 9 specific peptides that they're considering moving from class 2 to class 1, which basically means right now they're considered maybe unsafe and not studied well enough. And that's class 2. If they move them to class 1, they'll be considered safe and able to prescribe. It's all a game, as you know, with the FDA. But the reality is that the peptides that will help for the microbiome and gut issues are BPC-157, which stands for Body Protective Compound 157. And there's a bunch of other peptides and small molecules that also can help with digestion, cleaning bacteria in the gut. Again, remember, the food supply in the United States is toxic. And so if people are eating GMO boxed foodstuffs and obviously fast food and all the other chemical laden foods, they really have a disturbed, if not only disrupted, microbiome. And so you can take peptides that can really suppress inflammation and can also improve gut health by just upregulating the cleansing bacteria and getting rid of the virulent pathogens that are in the stomach. And some of those other peptides would be TB500, which is thymosin beta 500. There's another peptide called lazaretide, and that actually is a really powerful small molecule to improve gut health. We actually at BioLongevity Mabs make a supplement called BioGut Pro, and it's specifically designed with 6 different peptides and a couple other small molecules to enhance absorption to address anybody that has severe gut issues. You know, obviously SIBO, Candida, yeast infection, stuff like that. So there definitely are peptides, obviously, that can help with that. But I always tell people, again, you're going to have to change your lifestyle to live insulin controlled and eat cleaner in order to get rid of the stuff that's going on in your stomach. And obviously, as you know, it's very difficult in the United States today because the food supply is so contaminated.
Yeah. What about the 2 complaints I hear the most about? Poor sleep and low energy. They kind of go hand in hand. You don't sleep well, you don't have energy, can't function at your best. Are there therapeutic peptides that can improve sleep quality and help restore energy?
100%. So DSIP, which is Delta Sleep Inducing Peptide, is a peptide that people can take to improve what is known as polyphasic or deep restorative sleep. There's some other ones. There's oxytocin, melanotan 1. But then again, for energy, you're really looking at the mitochondrial peptides, and there's so many of them. SS31, which is now known as olanzapine. You've got 5-amino-1-MQ. You also have, obviously, MOTC, which a lot of people consider exercise in a bottle because it's so very, very powerful in improving mitochondrial health. There's others, NAD+, There's probably two or three other that I'm leaving off. I think.
Yeah, there's one. What about Sealank? Is that what it's called? I've heard about that.
So Sealank and Cmax are more of nootropic peptides, and those are all very, very good in restoring cognitive function. Sealank is actually an anxiolytic, so it'll actually really help people that are stressed out and just basically their parasympathetic is overactivated. So it's a very, very good peptide for that.
So that's 95% of people listening. Okay, you heard it.
Most likely, yes.
Now, you mentioned peptides can help injuries heal faster. How does that work? And which peptides are athletes going to bounce back from injuries?
Yeah, so for sure, the three strongest peptides that improve healing, I think the best way to define healing is obviously first off to increase angiogenesis, which is going to restore red blood cell and lymph to the targeted area that has been injured. And then you have inflammation suppression. So you're sending like suppressing cytokines and interleukin and whatnot. And both of those products would be BPC-157, which again is body protective compound, which is literally found naturally in human gastric juice. But when it's injected or orally swallowed or again, intranasally inhaled, can really speed the rate of angiogenesis. And TB-500, which is thymus and beta-500, is its sister or call it brother molecule because it helps with suppressing inflammation. So when you take both of them together, a lot of people refer to that as the Wolverine healing stack. It can actually accelerate healing up to 7 to 10 times faster than just the normal, you know, RICE, which is obviously rest, ice, compression, elevation, old school methodology. And then I would mention one other peptide, which is profound, and it is known as Cardiolax. And it is a Russian bioregulator peptide that actually, knock on wood, helps with cartilage regeneration. So obviously that's kind of the big missing link in health today is helping people have a stronger, thicker space between the joint capsules. And so Cardiolax actually helps at strengthening, call it the supporting tissues around cartilage. It's not going to regenerate cartilage. It's not that magic yet, but I think that's coming, by the way, at some point. But all three of those, if you use those together and you've injured yourself, whether it's a sprained ankle, a cut, or tendon or joint specific issue, if you use those three in combination, you will heal dramatically faster than you would if you didn't.
Wow. Even rotator cuffs, that's very common with athletes.
Oh, I mean, I have rotator issues. I'm 55 years old, obviously, and a hard training guy still. And I inject our product, which is called the Regeno Blend, which again is those three products specifically, BPC-157, TB-500, and Cardiolax, right into the areas where I have soreness. And I'm not kidding you. I mean, literally within 24 to 36 hours, the soreness is gone. And if I, you know, had a severe rotator cuff injury or even like a torn supraspinatus or something, medial delt, intradelt or whatever, I would be using that twice a day for at least a month to speed the rate of healing. And obviously many, many athletes and knowledgeable people do that already.
Yeah, let's get to the question on everybody's mind. We can't skip this one. Are peptides safe? There's a lot of risks out there people are warning about that it can fuel tumor growth. And of course, the skeptics, tell us the truth. Are we safe?
We're 100% safe. In my 23 years of using therapeutic peptides and obviously observing thousands of people online and in person, I'd say probably now it's in the tens of thousands of people. I've never seen a person overdose. There are side effects like anything else. Remember what Tim Ferriss said, the difference between a pill and a poison is the dosage. So for people who are misinformed or uninformed and they take too much, and obviously that does happen at times because people also aren't knowledgeable on how to dose these appropriately, they can have mild nausea or they can get what would be called a cellulitis reaction, you know, at the point of injection, which is sometimes red bumps or something like that. But very rarely are you going to see that. And then to your question of whether or not they cause tumors or accelerate tumor formation, the world's leading oncologist in peptide therapy, and I forget her name, but she messages me all the time. She's actually made jokes and she sent me an email one day out of the blue and introduced herself to me. And again, I apologize. I can't recall her name right now. If you ever want to ask me, I'll find it for you. But she said that the dosages that people are using to use therapeutic peptides today are so far away from a dose that would actually have to be used to actually potentially accelerate or exacerbate an ontological mutation of the cell, which would be a cancer tumor, a latent one, that she said it's not possible. And so she jokes about it because she's heard, you know, obviously famous doctors and celebrity influencers talk about how they can accelerate cancer. And she laughs and she said that's absolutely not ever going to happen unless somebody was abusing it. And by the way, I want to say this too. Human growth hormone, because people will say in the medical literature, they say, oh, it causes cancerous tumors or can cause cancerous tumors. And all the literature in who they give human growth hormone to, which is dwarves, There has never been a single incidence in all the medical literature of giving human growth hormone to young children who are essentially considered dwarves in the history of the evaluation. And obviously there are thousands of studies. So there's just a lot of misinformation and a lot of, like, call it fear porn that is out there about peptides, human growth hormone, or even just growth factor secretogs that can cause cancer. And I've never seen it. And I always like to speak against it because I don't think it's actually possible unless you're abusing it and you're abusing it for a long time.
Right, right. Time's flying by. I had two questions for you we can't not miss. We see research purposes only. That's scaring people. What does that mean if we see that on the peptide?
So research purposes only means that it's literally intended for research on people who are using it for research purposes. So that can be yourself, that could be your lab animal, that could be your husband, yourself. It depends on how you perceive it. But the legal definition of it is every consumer in America or person in America, and again, I'm talking about the US code here, has a right to research on themselves. What you want to be very cautious of if you are purchasing from the research use only market is you have to make sure that the company that is selling it is offering batch numbers and lot numbers, which verify the actual raw materials and manufactured ingredients in their vials. So you can trace them. They're called traceability, but you should be able to go to a site online to prove that there is an independent third-party body, call it research body, that is actually testing and verifying what's on the label. So if you're using research use only, and I have nothing against that, obviously my company does that, be very, very cautious and make sure that the company that you're buying it from is verifying that what is in the labels and what you're paying for is actually 100% or 99.9% of what they say it is.
Last question. You mentioned before you got people in their garage selling this stuff, sketchy peptide sellers on TikTok. How can somebody tell a quality source from snake oil? Literally, how do they avoid getting a vial of who knows what?
That's a great question. And it's exactly what I just said. Verify, verify, verify. As I call it, triple authentication certification or verification, which is you have an independent third party testing the company's verifications themselves, saying that, you know, their batch number and their lot number is real. And then a lot of companies, including ours, has another company, which is an independent third party, that verifies that there's no heavy metals, there's no lead, there's no contaminants, there's no what is called lipopolysaccharides. And between those, say, three companies, which is obviously the manufacturer, the first independent third party testing it, and then the second independent third party, all three of those verifying that the label is correct and to what it says it is, it's going to give you the best protection as a consumer slash patient versus somebody who's, like you said, selling it on TikTok for $49.99 saying, hey, it's available right now. If you use a coupon code, I'll give you 20% off or something like that. So you have to be very, very cautious where you get your products from. Again, you have an option. You can get it from a compounding pharmacy with a doctor's prescription, or you can buy them yourself. I didn't say this, but I'll just say this. The difference in the two models is that obviously if you get it from a pharmacy and a physician, you're going to pay 7 to 10 times the cost unless you get it from a research use only company, which, by the way, is literally selling it to you unready for human use because they're not allowed to sell it for human use. They're selling it for research purposes only.
Wow, fantastic. You shared some peptacular insights, by the way. So feel free to use that. I don't need it. Got 30 seconds left. Anything else you'd like to share we didn't cover today?
Thank you so much. I'm very humbled and honored to be here today with you. I know you have a very successful and long-running show. I'm truly grateful to be here. I would just say that if anybody found value on the stuff that we talked about today, head over to jcampbell.com, which is literally one of the world's leading resources now for free information about therapeutic peptides. You know, I also talk a lot about fasting and hormone optimization, et cetera. And then also look for my newest book, which should be out in early to mid-August, which is called Living Leaner, Longer, Stronger, The Optimal Blueprint for Health and Longevity. That book is my magnum opus, and it is very, very short, but it's made for people who have no understanding of any of the things that I have obviously a good mastery of to really understand. So I look for that book to make a big impact in the world.
Oh, it's great. We'll definitely have you back when that book comes out because you've been very informative, and I appreciate you being here with us. And wow, I think you pulled the wool off people's eyes. I think we got a better concept now. So thank you very much. The book is called Optimize Your Health with Therapeutic Peptides. Extend your life by becoming more muscular, leaner, smarter, injury-free, and younger. You can get your copy at jcampbell.com. And while there, be sure and check out his other resources, including educational articles, courses, coaching programs, and the products he's mentioned, and all the therapeutic peptide info you need is right there on that site. And you can follow Jay on Facebook at jcampbell on Instagram at jcampbell1971 and on X, jcampbell333. You can follow me on Facebook at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Dr. D. Friedman. And if you heard Jay share something today that somebody you know needs to hear, send them a link to this podcast. You can go to yourgoodhealthradio.com. And while there, peruse our podcast library and share these segments of interest with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media, sharing is caring. You can also subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.